So this is the first podcast. I don't know what we're going to title it yet, but we'll figure it out. But the first question we got was from Mariachi Gallos Reales. And it was growth as a musician / relocating, exploring different ensembles and like different music. So I think that's fitting, especially because you just like fucking moved here from
I did just
like on a one-way train today. So I don't know if you want to like start that off and like kind of talk about it.
Well basically I came to visit this guy because he was performing at the Grammy Museum, and I took a one-way train ticket here to LA from Tucson, Arizona, and within the span of 24 hours this guy gets me a job, and then I do a gig with some mariachi and they offer me the spot as their armonía player, and now here I am and here we are doing a podcast.
So I think like for the longest time, I think me and you both wanted to move to LA and like we wanted to like do music, and
long ass time.
For me it took a while. I mean, same for you too, but like what do you think it was that like finally was like, okay, like I need to get there, like I'm here now, like what do you think like set the stone that it was like, okay, yeah, aquí me tengo que quedar?
Well, when Beto from Quinto Sol offered me the opportunity and then the Jose Hernandez Academy teaching thing, I figured that wasn't going to come back around. They weren't going to wait for me to get my life together or to get things in order and then realize, oh, well, okay, now I'm ready, whatever that means, to fucking move here. So I was like, now I need to do it. There's either I do it now or I do it never.
Yeah.
Cause
Or
if I do it, then when I come back, who knows?
Yeah.
They're not going to be there. They're not going to take me as seriously anymore.
Yeah. I think that you said something good. It's like, you said like ready in quotation marks, because personally I think you'll never be ready.
It's
hard to explain, because like you want to prepare as much as you can, but the only way you can prepare is by being in the environment, you know, like, because you don't know exactly, like especially like in mariachi, like we wanted to move here for mariachi, you know, so like we started both in Mariachi Nogales, Mariachi Apache, and it was cool, you know, we learned a lot. We learned some repertoire there, then we moved to Tucson, you know, and we got into the scene there, and we learned how to like do chambas and stuff and kind of like get by. But once we moved to LA, like it's a whole different situation, you know. Like, everybody has their own arrangements, their own songs. People ask for everything here. Like it can be like the randomest song, like you've never heard El Caballo Blanco de las Patas Volteadas que le pegó un relámpago de arriba del cerro, like you, like.
And somebody knows.
Yeah,
it
and
too.
Somebody knows. It's like, yeah, ahorita me la viento. It's like, ahí la leo. It's like, what? It's like, how? So, you know, like, you can't be prepared for those kind of things unless you come out here and know what you need to prepare for.
Yeah.
So, it's just taking that jump. And I think that you finally took that, you know, like, once you were here, you're like, you know what? Like, yeah, like, I need to take the leap. I need to take these opportunities. I think it's interesting, too, because, like, I mean, me and you would talk on the phone a lot. Before you moved out here, and a lot of things you would tell me is like, oh, like, you know, like I want to find the opportunities to like to write for someone, and like here in Tucson, like I'm writing for this group, I'm writing for that group, and I was like, you can find that here too, you know. It's just like the thing is, like, I feel like we put mental blocks on ourselves before we even try and take the jump, because it's fear, you know, like to a certain extent it's fear, because we don't know exactly what's going to happen when you move. But the cool thing is that those opportunities are there. It's just taking the jump and it all comes. And, like, see, like, one thing I remember you told me was, like, oh, like, I want to write, you know? And, like, I don't know who I'm going to write for once I get to L.A. And, look, once you came, like, Quinto Sol was, like, dude, write our next album, you know?
Yeah,
like, right away. So, like, that's the thing is, like, I think if you do want to grow as a musician or just growth in general as a person, like, you just need to take the jump and put yourself in the position where you become uncomfortable.
Well, actually, going back to that point, that's mainly why I did it. When he said I could write for their their new CD was why I did it. Because first he offered me the position, and then this was later when he told me that I could write for their CD. Because I was like, okay, now there's a chance for me to write for a group here, and then now my stuff gets heard here.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, and it's definitely a bigger...
Yeah, it's a bigger
market, you know, like, and that's, I think, one thing to become, like, just a better musician and grow is you have to be willing to, like, us coming from Tucson, you know, like, there's a lot of talent everywhere. And no matter how good you are, like, you could be the best person in that town, but there's always someone better somewhere else. So it's up to you if you, like, let's say you want to be, if you want to be the big fish in a small pond, or if you want to be a small fish in a big pond where you'll learn a lot more and become a bigger fish, you know. So it just depends on if you're willing to take that leap and be uncomfortable, put yourself in, like, dumb situations, make yourself look dumb. Like, I mean, I'm sure you felt it, like, when I first moved out here and started doing, like, chambas with mariachi, like, I was totally unprepared. Like, I didn't know a lot of the songs. When I first got into Garibaldi, like, you know, I was just thrown out there. And, like, I'm thankful for that, because it definitely pushed me, you know. So, like, thank you, Jimmy, for, like, pushing me and just, like, putting me in that spot. But, you know, it's not for, I mean, it is for everybody. Like, you just got to be willing to do it. But it's super uncomfortable, you know, because you, like, back in Tucson, like, I knew all my set. I knew everything that I was playing with Mariachi Sol Azteca. I knew, like, all the songs. And I knew some other songs that people would ask for, you know, like, here and then. But then you come into this new group. They play everything different. They play everything in different speeds. They play everything with a different style. And you have to adapt. And it doesn't just happen from one day to the next. Like, you need to be willing to be uncomfortable for a very long period of time. And I think that's one of the harder parts. If, like, you want to grow as a musician, is be willing to just be uncomfortable and look dumb and, like, look like you actually don't know how to play when you know you do, but it's a learning process, you know. Even when we first start as musicians, like, you pick up the instrument for the first time, like, you don't know what to do. So it's the same thing just over again, like, learning in a new, different process with new material, with a new mindset, basically. I mean, yeah.
Well, the enemy of any artist is conformity.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If you're an artist, or you want to be one, and you feel like you're in a comfortable place, you're probably not doing something right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I definitely agree with that.
Yeah. You consistently have to be putting yourself out there, and be willing to fail.
Yeah, I think that's a big thing in, like, everything in life, is, like, a lot of people are, like, scared to fail. Like, you know, they're like, oh man, like, for me too, like, when I was like, I want to move to LA, but, you know, like, nah, I'm like, it's not for me. I'm not good enough. I'm not ready. I'd rather prepare first, like, learn as much rep as I can, and then go. But honestly, they were all excuses. Yeah, because I was afraid to fail, you know, like, I was afraid to get out there and just not make it, you know. And I think what the change is, or where the change happens, is when you change your perspective of looking at failure as something negative to something positive. You know, like, a failure is basically a lesson in disguise. That's all it really is.
Yeah, like, it's not just, like, it's over
thing. Yeah, no, like, you take it and you figure out what is it that you did wrong and how you can fix that the next time, you know. So, like, and that goes in anything. Let's say you're learning a song, you know, like, I don't know, like, I can't think of anything right now, but, like, you're learning some song, there's a part that you don't know, and you go into a, and you go into a gig, and, like, you've heard it once or twice, and, like, you're like, okay, like, I think I know how it goes, and then you hit the part where you don't know it, and you're like, okay, cool, like, you know where you're gonna mess up. That's one thing that I've noticed as a musician, is, like, you know where you're gonna mess up.
It's true.
So all you have to do is go back home, find that part, go over it, and then, yeah, loop it and learn it. That's really all it takes. And then you figure it out. You know, it's not a failure. It's just, like, it's telling you, like, yo, bro, this is where you messed up. Fix it. You know, like, this is what you need to do. Just go back, go over it a couple of times, and then you're good for the next time. You know, and now you know the song. So it's not really failure. It's just, like, it's just telling you, like, fix this. This is what you need to fix. You know. And that's up to you. Like, if you don't fix it, then that's another whole issue right there.
Yeah. Or if you don't want to fix it because you think you're not wrong when you are is also...
That's also, yeah, yeah. That's a little bit of ego right there. Yeah. But yeah.
I mean, also at the same time, it's like when you come to a bigger city or anything in general, is knowing that you are... There's no project or no anything that you're too good for.
Yeah.
Unless you are, then you'll know, because then you already have so many projects lined up then.
Yeah.
Like Quincy Jones is too good to do all the things that
Quincy Jones, you're not gonna see Quincy Jones playing at a quinceañera on a Saturday afternoon.
You'll see me there, not Quincy Jones.
You can Quincy Jones, he's on a whole other level. But like when you're first starting, I think, like, you know, like no matter how good you are, like if you're new to the city, like you just
take anything you can get, everything is gonna make you grow. Even if you think, oh, that music sucks, it's shitty, I don't want to listen to that fucking song, like whatever.
Trust me, I don't want to fucking play Mariachi Loco more than the next guy or Mañanitas. Yeah. But hey, like it's work. We gotta do it to please the crowd, and like it is what it is. But like that's the thing, is like a lot of people are like, nah, you know, like I'm not gonna do that because this or that, or like
I have too much artistic integrity.
I've like backed up this artist. Yeah. It's like, who cares, you know? Like work is work, like you still learn from something. Mm. I actually just recently played a gig with it was just a chamba group, and the dad was like the director, and he's an older gentleman. He had asked me like who I played with, and I was like, oh, I played with like Mariachi Garibaldi, and they're like, oh, like that's a pretty top group. And I was like, yeah, you know, like we get a good amount of work, like we travel quite a bit. And he's like, are you're not embarrassed to gig with us? I'm like, they caught me off guard, you know. I was like, no, like, you know, like work is work, like no matter who I play with, like it doesn't matter, you know, like I still learn even from someone. How can I put this nicely? I don't want to say like someone that's like a worse player than me, or like just someone with like maybe like doesn't have as much experience as I do, or whatever, like whatever the skill level of a musician, whoever I play with, I can still learn something from them. It doesn't really matter. And I think that's what deters a lot of musicians too, is that they think that they're too good and they don't want to take like certain gigs or something just because, I don't know, like
they think
it's beyond them or below them or however you say it. And honestly, like I think that's something very important, is to keep yourself grounded, you know, and like let go of your ego. It's like it doesn't matter like what stages you've played on, who you've backed up, who you've played with, like you can still learn from anybody.
Every gig and performance is an opportunity for growth. And that's a great thing I think about playing in the here, is that a lot of people do see it that way still. And the other perspective is maybe you did gig with that guy that maybe didn't have so much experience or whatever, but we all come from different backgrounds, and some people aren't as lucky to have been able to learn from other people.
Exactly.
Like you're lucky that you've been able to learn from Jimmy and stuff.
For
and
sure.
I'm lucky that I went to music school and I like learned from a lot of, like, I learned classical guitar from some of the best people in the world, but not everyone is going to get a chance to, you know, everyone's
like, you of all people could be like, I'm not going to play at a backyard gig because I've played with David Russell, I've played with the Assad brothers, you know. It's like, no, like it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter, yeah.
Yeah, because you can still use that knowledge at a backyard gig, and people are going to be like, oh shit, like that's fucking dope, you know. Like it's really just like, again, putting yourself in an uncomfortable situation. Like, even though it's like, you know, people may know who you are and like how good you are, and but you're still willing to put yourself out there and get work. And like the thing with LA too is like there's a lot of work, and like, you know, it's, are you really willing to let go of some money of a gig because it's a backyard gig, when you could take, like, I don't know, a better opportunity somewhere else? Like I think that's where you just need to change your mindset and be like, okay, like I could still learn from a backyard gig. I could still learn that, like, any, honestly, like one, I hate playing masses.
I hate
playing masses, but it makes me realize, like, you know, like everybody plays a mass differently. Like sometimes like okay, cool, like I'm glad I did it because I learned something new.
And it does keep you on your toes, remembering Ave Maria.
It does, yeah. That's the thing too, is like, you know, like as much sometimes it's like, it's, and I've noticed too, is like sometimes it's like if you don't like something, like in a chamba, it's probably because, like, you're not prepared for it.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
And, like, that's why I don't like messes, is because, like, we don't play them that consistently. And, like, I don't practice them. I don't practice the songs because, like, we don't really
play every weekend.
Yeah. Messes. So, like, then when the mass comes, I'm like, oh, man, like, now I have to, like, bring out all the songs. One, they're also, like, not the greatest. They're not fun songs, you know, but, like, we have to play them. But, and, like, that's why it's annoying, because it's, like, I forget them. I have to go over them. And, like, once I go over them, like, yeah, I'll learn it for that mass. But then again, when am I going to have to play it again?
Another mass. And then it's, and then the order, too. I forget the order all the time. Yeah. I'm always like, what's... Nosotros no somos religiosos. Yeah. Uno que no. Uno que sí.
Oye, me toque sí. Yeah, so, like, I think that's... I've noticed that a lot. It's just, like, when you really don't... aren't, like, excited for something, it's because, a la madre, pinches tostadas ya se quebraron.
Sorry, Luis.
Yeah, I think it's just, like, it's because you're not prepared for it. And, like, that's why you're just, like, ah, like, I don't want to do this.
You don't want to deal with it.
Yeah, you don't want to deal with it. So, that's another thing, is just, like, prepare yourself, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, even if you don't like it, you practice. Because you never know who's watching. You never know who's hearing. And one, you're providing a service. Like, people are paying you to people are paying you to play. So, like, you at least, it's like the same thing. Si vas al taquero, no quieres que pinche taquero no sepa cocinar la carne. Yeah, pinche freezer, ¿verdad? Like, you want the taquero to know how to cook the meat, you know? Like, so it's the same with music. Like, you need to know your parts. You need to know how to play. Like,
take it more seriously. Respect the art form and respect your back.
Yeah, respect the art form and respect yourself as a musician to, like, be putting yourself out there and, like, being confident that you know your parts, you know? And that goes with, like, anything, just, like, a chamba performance. If you're, like, playing a chamba and, like, you hear a song that you've never heard before, or you start hearing a song that people, like, ask for a lot, learn the lyrics and learn the song, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It's not...
get ahead of the game, like...
YouTube, you know? Spotify, Amazon, Google Music, Apple Music. We have more resources than ever now.
Yeah, it's like, too easy.
All of Javier Solís and José Alfredo, Pedro Infante have billions of albums on the
screen. It's very, 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 very rare to hear a song at a chamba and not be able to find it.
Yeah.
Like, it's very super rare. Like, there's only been, like, maybe one or two songs where I've heard, and, like, or I couldn't remember the title, or, like, and I just couldn't find it. But for the most part, like, you can find it. If it's not on Spotify, you can find it on YouTube.
Yeah, someone, like, uploaded it and something like that. And I think a lot of your growth will definitely depend on where you locate yourself. Because, like, here, one of the first things that I have done is that every week when I show up at the restaurant, Beto's always like, okay, what song did you learn this week? Yeah. You're gonna sing it. Or he'll text me. He's like, hey, you know, this week on Friday at Fiesta, I want you to sing these songs. Yeah. And they're songs that I've never sang before. So now I'm forced to not only learn a new melody singing, I'm also have to learn how to play it. And sometimes it's just the ranchera and it's easy, and sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's something like some random Alejandro Fernandez song with a bunch of chords or something like that. And it just depends. But you're with people who not only know repertoire, but they will also ask you to, they will be able to push you and say, well, okay, now, like, encourage you to say, pues, échate esta en ahora, like, you sing this one. And that's the unique thing about here that doesn't really happen in other places, I think.
As much,
you know.
Yeah, I think that keeps yourself entertained and yourself on your toes as a musician,
of course,
too. Like, because I could relate to that when we were playing at El Nuevo Mariachi, like, when we had that planta. Like, usually, like, at chamba, like, once you start singing, like, a certain song and, like, people like it, they're like, okay, cántatela, you know, like, you start singing the same, you have your own little set
rep
of songs
your
that you sing,
personal
rep, you know. But once we started playing at the planta, you know, like, you get, not necessarily that you get bored of singing the same song, but it's just like, you kind of want to try something new.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what you kind of need to do as a musician too, is, like, you know, like, if you have consistent work, or if you have a planta and you basically kind of have the same set list every single weekend, push yourself and be like, you know, like, hey, let me sing this one, you know? And, like, if the group knows it, cool. Like, and that's what I was doing when we were at you know, like, I would have still my own, like, little set list of songs that I'm comfortable with singing and would sing. But once in a while, I'd be like, you know what? I haven't sang this one, you know, like, I haven't sang this one in a while, or I like singing this one in my car, but I've never sang it in as a group. So you just call it out, like, you know, like, obviously I was nervous, like, because I've never sang it before, you know, like, it's daunting because you don't know how it's going to come out. You don't know, one, like, I don't know how, like, any group will play, like, especially, like, Garibaldi, because it's LA, everybody has their own arrangement, so, like, it's just, like, I don't know how, like, the timing goes, or, like, what, like, little melodies go where, and, like, where I come in, but you have to do it, because then, if you don't do it, then you're never going to know, you know, so it's just, like, just do it. If it comes out, like, shitty, then, oh, well, like, you know, that's just one time, now you know for next time. One thing that I do recommend for people who play in plantas or have like consistent work and like in steady like routine, your phone is like your biggest resource. Record the whole set. When I first got into Garibaldi, like before I was even in the group, I would go to La Fonda, see them play, and I would record the set list, and I would learn the music, you know. And like even once I was in the group, I would do the same thing. I would record the set list, go home and learn the repertoire, you know? And like that would just get me prepared for the next time. I wasn't completely prepared because every time there was a different set list, but the songs that they did play, I was like, okay, cool. Now I know how it goes. Like I remember it was like one of the first gigs I played with Garibaldi. It was like second or third or something like that. And Garibaldi had this Colima Popurri. I loved it. It was like such a good arrangement. It was some cool songs. And then they were like ready to call it out at La Fonda. And then they were like, oh, like, do you know? I'm like, well, I can kind of like get by it, you know, because like I recorded it and I practiced it. And yeah, like it, I mean, I wasn't completely prepared for it, but like I was able to get through it because I had recorded it. I had heard it countless times because I would always be at La Fonda and just like listening to the songs. So I think that's one thing that you need to do is prepare, you know, and it's a lot of people think that it's hard work to prepare, but honestly, it's not that much hard work. Like little things that you can do that will like put you ahead. It's like record, practice, listen to things over and over again, and then you're good. And so Meli, do you have anything to add?
No. Oh,
okay. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean a lot of it too, especially in folk music, is listening. Just like plug your headphones in and listen to a new album like every day, every other day. Put Pandora, Spotify, radio, whatever the fuck you use, and just use it. If you're consistently listening, it'll be easier for you to pick up on stuff that you haven't heard before, like at a gig. Like, oh, I haven't heard that song, but it's kind of like the other song that we played.
Yeah, and. Yeah, one thing too is just like listening to things over and over again. Like if I have a song that I need to learn or like lyrics that I need to learn, like as much as it's painful to do, I'll listen to that song over and over again all day just so it's like ingrained in my head. You know, it's like it sucks and like I really don't want to do that, but like I have to do it to learn the song and like to learn it well. Also listen to different arrangements, you know, like don't get stuck with it's like they're like, oh, okay, like learn a canto nuevo, okay, Vicente, I'm gonna sing it like Vicente. It's like that's fine, you know, but I mean, you want to add your own little flavor to it too. So listen to different arrangements, kind of get some inspiration from
different singers,
see how they phrase things. Be like, oh, cool, I'm going to add that, or I like that. Or, and it's not necessarily copying, because what's cool is that like a lot of people think that it's like, okay, like where does creativity come from? Like that person is so creative. Like, how did he think of that? It doesn't just come from nowhere. You know, like you have to listen to a whole bunch of different things and kind of get that flow going, and then once you start listening to different things, that's when you start to your ideas kind of start to mesh together and you create your own thing, you know. Listen to as much as you can, you know, and kind of start adding your own little flavor and your own little style to it, and that'll definitely like put you out there a little more, you know. I don't know if you want to add anything else.
I think listening to different genres is a big one, and trying to play them as well, even if you don't play them like professionally or semi-professionally or whatever, trying to jam out maybe a jazz standard or a pop song, some pop song, some rock song. Everything has something that you can take from listening to the same song. Different versions of it. Hear a pop singer do Sino Zejan, but then hear José Alfredo Jiménez do it, and then hear a rock singer do it.
Yeah, just walk by.
Yeah, just walk by. It's Te pide el público.
Yeah, I was gonna add a lot of boleros actually come from like salsa or like Cuban sones and stuff like that, or just like from that area of like Latin America. And I love listening to them because the way they phrase things and the way they like sing, it's just very fluid. It's not very like mariachi can be very like straight and just like follows like a straight line, but like these salseros that like sing boleros are just like all over the place, and it's really cool when that pushes you to like, oh cool, like, you know, like I want to do that, I want to learn how to do that at a chamba, and just, you know, try and imitate it as best I can, or try and learn or add my own little taste to it, you know. So yeah, definitely like listen to different genres and different styles, and just to again get out of your comfort zone of of just like singing within a certain style. But I don't know, I think that's as much as I got for growth as a musician. So it was kind of very mariachi based, but I mean, I think it, you can definitely use it for like any genre of music.
I guess I think I can add a little more.
Go for it.
It definitely, try and get yourself a teacher or some sort of mentor who's bluntly honest with you.
Yeah.
Who's going to tell you, you know what?
You suck.
That sucks. That's not fucking good. Because what that will do to you is that it will push you to want to excel more than what you think you can do. If you go in lesson after lesson and they're like, it sucks, it's not good.
Yeah.
Because, and it grounds you too. It grounds you as a musician to be able to do that. And I witnessed a lot of people in music school kind of quit or go a different route because the teacher is too rough. But at the end of the day, I mean, I've had some really rough teachers that told me I sucked and this and that. But I think that's only, it's only makes you better. You need to you need to grow that tough skin, because as a musician, people are gonna tell you no. People are gonna tell you all these crazy things, and you're gonna get rejected, and you're gonna hear no more than you say yes. You're gonna get fucked over by people. That's just the industry.
And it's not just music, it's everywhere.
It's not everywhere. It's nothing personal. It's just the way things are in the world, and that's either you choose to, you know, front it, or you choose to be a victim to it. It's up to you. But definitely getting someone who's who knows, and they, their level is higher than you and stuff, like always be seeking out the people who are who are way higher level than you, and be sure that they can, let them know that they can be honest with you.
100%
completely
honest,
completely honest.
No sugarcoating things.
No, like, oh, this is good, you know, this idea is good. No, like that idea sucks, like that's a really bad lick, like,
because you're not gonna learn.
Yeah,
you're not gonna learn if someone sugarcoats it and be like, you know, that's nice, and it's like, okay cool, I can do this something nice. And the next one, no, like, tell me it fucking sucks so that I know not to do it again. You know? Like,
exactly.
You got to let go of your ego, you know, like, not everything that you're going to do is going to be perfect, because we're not perfect. You know, like, we're learning. We're all learning in the process. And like, I think that's the important thing of finding someone that will be honest with you and tell you, like, no, bro, like, go practice it. That fucking sucks. You know, like
there is black and white sometimes, a lot of the times in music. Sometimes some things are good and some things are not, and I've known a lot of people to take the harsh criticism as a form of imposing, quote unquote, on their creativity, but it's really not. Sometimes things are just, they just suck, like there's just bad music in the world, and there's good music, and that's it.
And I think you have to know yourself as a person and as a musician to know, you know, like, you have to be very confident in yourself and very aware of who you are and what level you are at to know that, like, I do suck, you know, like, that what he said was right, that, you know, like, I need to go and fix that. But also, like, be aware, like, people are going to hate too.
Of course. There's both ends
again,
of the spectrum.
There's both ends of the spectrum. But again, just be very aware, like, let go of your ego. Know that, you know, like, there's always room for improvement, always, no matter how good you are. And know that if someone tells you, like, that sucks, no, okay, like, yeah, you're right, that does suck. Or be like, okay, like, I worked really fucking hard, I worked like 10 hours on that little piece, like, I'm in tune, I'm like following the scale, like, you know, I think this person is just fucking hating. So, but again, you just need to be very aware of who you are as a musician and of your level, and you just be aware.
And you'll know if you get getting different teachers too is
yeah,
really good.
And
you'll know if someone is hating, because if one teacher tells you, what, this is really good, like your work here is great. And then the other one goes in the opposite and it's like, oh, this sucks, like you're the worst, like that's not, there's it's not, it doesn't add up, like
be very mindful of also like
that
the two teachers you're working with know each other kind of, and like that they how can I say it, that they're fond of each other's work. Because if you work with one teacher who like knows of the other teacher and they're like, nah, that guy sucks, like then you're gonna have clashing perspectives, because like, you know, like
then that's how you know sometimes it's just like a personal thing or like whatever the fuck, I don't know. I don't know, I never understand that, because there's some things that can be good, just not your style, not what you necessarily like to hear. Like there's a lot of arrangements that are good, it's that maybe I would never write like that because it's not my style.
It doesn't mean it's wrong.
It's just something that's unique to that person that was like, okay, fuck, this is the way I hear it, and that's cool, you know, like that's what it's all about. But there's not like a certain way to do things, that and then that's the ultimate way. If that was true, then we would all be doing it and we would have already been figured it out. But
no, there's definitely, there's always room for improvement again.
Yeah,
like there's always new ideas, there's always new genres coming out, and it's just like, you know, being open, having an open mind and receiving like information from wherever you can get it, you know.
And it's all over the place now.
Yeah,
YouTube is a great source. There's so, I've learned so many things off of YouTube. There's people who like struggle with learning music theory. There's channels for it.
Yeah, you had said something about like getting yourself a coach or getting yourself like like a mentor or whatever, and like people always make excuses. They're like, no, like I don't have the money for lessons, I don't have the money for a coach. It's like, bro, people post free shit on YouTube all the fucking
people
time.
People post
like so much knowledge is on YouTube, like you have no idea. Like there's vocal lessons, like there's music theory lessons, there's, you can, anything that you can, that you need help on, you can find it on YouTube. You can find a PDF online, like you can, it's all available to you, it's all there, it's literally all there.
And yes, well, it's true that at some point when you get to more advanced techniques, you will need someone that is there with you one-on-one. Personally,
you're gonna need to spend a little money,
but at very basic levels, let's say I want to learn how to stack a major chord, I want to learn how to make a scale, I can type on my phone YouTube how to make a major chord, and maybe 50 videos like of different people will come up, and everyone will have the same explanation, because there's only that, there's a certain way, and there's only one way to do that, and everyone will explain it to you different, and one of those videos, it will click to you. One of them has to click. I mean, out of all of them. And, you know, like, there's even advanced stuff, like that guy Rigby Otto has, like, crazy, like, almost a million followers, and I love to watch his videos where he breaks down orchestrations of like film scores or something, or he's like talking about like crazy extended harmonies and substitutions and how to modernize your sound. And I mean, there's a market there for everyone.
Yeah.
I mean, I like to watch those crazy videos where he talks about how to play every chord in the world, but maybe you don't. Maybe you just want
to
watch.
Maybe you just want to learn how to play a cumbia.
Yeah.
And there's a video on that on YouTube too.
YouTube too, yeah.
Like, yeah, you can. It's all there. It's all there. There's literally, if you can find an excuse for not learning, like a real excuse that I'll like be like, okay, that's actually an excuse, I'll give you $10. DM us, but
yeah,
like there's literally no excuses, like you can learn so, like there's just so much knowledge out there that's so accessible to you. Like you can literally go to the library and get a free book, like rent out a book on like music theory, like you can go to Amazon, buy a book for like $10 on music theory, like jazz chords, like literally, like if you want to learn, you will learn, but if you don't want to learn, you're just gonna make excuses. It's as simple as that. It's really as simple as that.
And once you're looking to go into like more advanced levels, you definitely need to be willing to invest.
Yeah.
Don't show up to someone who is at a way higher level than you and expect them to teach you for free or try and lowball them. Like,
No, like you're at their mercy.
Yeah.
Because they have all the knowledge that you want to get. And so you do whatever you can to get the knowledge from them.
Yeah. I paid some teachers a good amount to learn, and I will continue to as long as I am can afford it. And if I can get a lesson from Quincy Jones and he charges me $1,000,
I'm going to spend that $1,000.
Find a way to get those $1,000 to spend and take a lesson from him. Because
if you want to be serious as a musician and make money as a musician and have it as a career, and this goes with anything, not just music, you need to spend money to make money.
Yeah.
You need to invest in yourself, and you need to make sure that you're getting as much knowledge as you can in order to push yourself forward. And that literally goes with anything, but especially in music. Like, you need to invest in yourself. Like, if you want to be a good ass musician and be at the top of your game, like, you need to learn. And sometimes you're going to have to spend some money to learn, you know?
Yeah. Like that vocal coach that Miguel went to.
Yeah, yeah. Like, there's a vocal coach that I really want to work with. I forgot her last name. Liz Lewis. Liz Lewis is her name. And she worked with a bunch of, like, top-name artists, you know? She charges $325 an hour. And, I mean, I'm not making that money, kind of money right now to
just fork it out.
And be like, hey, like, let's do a lesson next week, you know? But, like, I'm working my ass off in order to at least try and make that so that I can get a lesson with her every month, you know, at least once a month, you know? And it's possible, you know, like, but, like, you know, if someone really wants to do that, like, how much are they willing to hustle?
Yeah.
You know, like, because it ain't cheap.
And sometimes, when I was, one of the times when I came to LA to visit, I had been trying to connect with Scott Tennant from the Los Angeles Guitar Quartet. And every time, like, he was either on tour or he, like, kind of was busy. But the first time I asked him, you know, like, what's your quote? What's your rate for a lesson? And he said $125 for an hour lesson. And I emailed him back and I said, okay, that's fine. I'll have your money, you know. If I see you, I'll definitely pay you for sure. And so last summer I was here, and finally, after maybe a year and a half or two, we he's like, okay, well, you know, I'm actually free, and before I go on tour, meet me at the conservatory in Pasadena. So I did, and I played for him, and he gave me some tips, and I took a lesson from him, and I was like, well, how do I pay you? Via PayPal, or I have the cash right here. And he's like, oh no, don't worry about it. You know, just buy me a coffee or something. And then, you know, sometimes when people see you're persistent and serious, they'll
cut you some slack.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, like I said, just be willing to fork up the money, because, like, it's one, like, it's an investment. Like, it's worth the money that you're going to be spending on. And also, like, I was just going to say that if you cringe at the thought of spending $125 for an hour lesson, you need to, like, change your mindset.
Yes. Like, change your perspective.
Because, like, if it's $125 for an hour for someone that you, like, don't know, like, okay, yeah, cringe.
Yeah, or someone, like, that's like, not, you know, good, like, hasn't done
that
anything.
Doesn't, it's not worth $125, but, like, if it's someone who has a resume, who has the experience, and who, like, you know you can get, like, I don't know, you can get, like, a great amount of knowledge that will, like, put you, like, months ahead of, like, where you are now, like, $125 is nothing, because you're going to make that back from the knowledge that you get from them, you know? Like, and that's the thing, money comes and goes. Like,
that's knowledge that stays with you forever.
Yeah, would you rather spend $125 on, I don't know, like, what's $125?
I mean, you can go to the mall and spend $125
on a pair of jeans or some shoes that are, like, are on sale.
Yeah.
Or yeah, you know, like, or just keep the same shoes that you have right now and, you know, learn. You know, like, it's all about perspective, and it's all about, like, what you want to do. Like, that's not to say, like, I would like some new shoes, you know, like, I like to look good, but, like, what is more important to me right now, and what is it that is going to add more value to my life and to my knowledge, you know? Because if I spend $125 right now on knowledge, that knowledge that I get, I'll definitely be able to double and triple the $125 that I spent, and then I'll be able to get more lessons and buy the shoes as well. So it's just it's perspective, you know. Like, it's delayed gratification is the best way to describe that, you know.
Yes, art. Any form of art, there's no immediate gratification from it. You're gonna need to hustle it out and practice, or keep writing and keep doing it until you know, you get decent at it, and, or great at it. There's no tomorrow I will I will be like XYZ musician.
Procrastination is literally the worst thing that you can have as an artist. You had mentioned something about like also like rejection, you know, like as a musician, or like honestly any type of artist, like actor, writing, like a writer, author, dancing, whatever, like any type of art form, you're gonna face a shit ton of rejection, and you need to be ready for it. And again, it's nothing personal, you know, like it's just they might not be looking for someone like you at the moment. It's not to say that you're not good. It's just you just keep going and find until you find your opportunity, you know, like it's again, just don't take anything personally ever, because it's not. It never is. It's just keep moving forward and keep practicing, and like your time will come. Like you'll find the opportunity that is meant for you, you know, like everything happens the way it needs to happen at the appropriate time. So it's just be aware of who you are, and like don't take shit personally. Like you're gonna face a shit ton of rejection no matter how high you get up the ladder, you know, like it won't be the first and it won't be the last. So just be ready for it and take it with a grain of salt, you know. It's like it might sting at first, but I mean, and that's normal, you know, like we're human, we have emotions and that's fine, but don't linger on it, because then that just like slows you down. Just be like, okay, that sucked,
now on to the next thing,
like let's move on, you know, like keep that momentum going, because the more you linger on it, like it's just gonna slow you down.
Yeah, there's no use to it either.
Yeah, and like there's a quote that I've seen a lot, and it resonates a lot. It's like, if it's not gonna matter in 5 years, don't spend more than 5 minutes arguing about it. Like that rejection in 5 years isn't gonna matter, because you're gonna get another opportunity. You know, like it really has no place. Just let it go, learn from it, take it as an experience, and then move on, you know, find the next thing.
I think that's it.
So top three things, growth as a musician, what would you categorize it?
Be open-minded to putting yourself out of your comfort zone, and then getting a teacher, a mentor, teacher, whatever you want to call it, that is going to be brutally honest with you and tell you that sometimes your work is just not as good as you think it is. And
find someone that tells you that you suck.
Yes, that makes you think that, and you'll be a lot better.
All right, cool. Thanks, guys. Peace.
I love Bailey. We love good. That was good. Well, it's because we basically like filmed our life.